Amen. We're coming to this chapter of God's Word this morning and to the verses 13, 14, and 15. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In this chapter of God's word, we have the conversation of Moses with God and the prayer of Moses to God regarding the service that God required of Moses to carry out in the days ahead. The task was to continue to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Already Moses knew the power of God as he dealt with Pharaoh in Egypt and at the Red Sea. He also saw the rebellion of the people and their turning from God and worshipping the golden calf. But now they have repented, and in these verses we have the prayer of Moses to God for help in carrying out the task ahead. And you know, as we that are saved by God's grace in the work that God has called each one of us to do for him, surely we too, like Moses, must realize how great a need that we have, and that as we try to fulfill the task that God has given us to do, it isn't easy to live for Christ in the day and age in which you and I live. And our first priority is to live for God, to witness for God, and then to seek the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not getting easy for God's children in the days in which we live. We're living in an age in which right across the world we have an increase in anti-biblical Christianity. And those who take their stand, as we do, for the truth of the gospel of saving grace and believe in the Bible and what it teaches, is being opposed in practically every country of the world. And we need in these days, above all else, to have the Lord with us. There was four requests Moses made, and I want us to make them our basis of prayer day by day. First of all, he requested companionship. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. It was a promise, and Moses makes a prayer out of that promise. He claims the promise at the throne of grace. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You see, above all else, Moses wanted the presence of God with him as he journeyed forward in the will of the Lord. He knew that he could not go forward effectually in his own strength. And hence this request. And you know, you and I also need the companionship of the Lord with us day by day as we seek to live and to serve him every day. Jesus said while he was on earth, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And you know, I want you to get those words. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ simply says, without me, ye can do nothing. And we're living in an age when everybody says, I can do everything myself. I can do whatever I want to do. I know what way to go. But as far as God's children are concerned, the Lord Jesus Christ says, without me ye can do nothing. To have the companionship of the Lord with us every day, we must be rightly related to him. we must have the new birth experience. And it means that we have to become a child of God, living the new life of holiness as laid down in the Scriptures. Now, there are many today, and they have a profession of salvation, but they have no possession of God's salvation. You see, if we are saved by God's grace, born again into God's family, then our lives will show a difference. And we must have that evidence in our lives that we are a child of God. The Bible says, "By their fruits ye shall know them." And we're living in an age when there is so many in the church, and I'm talking about the church, the professing church of Christ across the world, but even in our own land, and there are so many have this profession, but they do what they want to do, and they live whatever way they want to live. And you know, it is sad today that people do not take God's word and apply it to their hearts. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And yet today, people are running after the attractions of the world. They're now Christians, and they're sitting with their drink, which years ago would have been abhorred. They go to the discos and to the dances, the young people, and then they're up singing the gospel. My dear friend, if we're saved by God's grace, there has to be a difference in your life and my life. And we must be born again into God's family. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And if we are a son of God and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are places we shouldn't be. I remember when I was young, and that's a good number of years ago, a young man getting saved, and we got into conversation, and he says, "You know, Ronnie, I can go to a dance." Some of the younger ones wouldn't know what a dance was, but it's the same as a disco, only the same type of thing. And he says, "I can witness for Christ there." I said, "No, you can't." Well, he says, "I'm telling you, I can." But you know, he came back to me a couple of months later, and he says, "Ronnie, you were right." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You told me I couldn't witness, but," he says, "I went to a dance, and I was dancing around the floor with this girl, and I started to witness to her, and she stopped dead on the floor." She says, "Are you a Christian? Are you saved?" He says, "I am." Well, she says, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I had to hang my head and run to the door and get out." You see, the world knows the difference. "But as many as received him, we become the sons of God." And Ephesians 4:24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And we must be different. Adam and Eve experienced their companionship in the Garden of Eden before the fall. And we who have been redeemed back to God from the dark paths of sin can experience something of what it was to have fellowship with God, even in this world of sin. But you know, there was a day came, and Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Sin had separated them from God, and now there was no companionship. There was simply no fear of God. As far as they were concerned, they had sinned against God, but they tried to hide from God. Instead of coming in fear and trembling and falling down and confessing their sin, they hid. And you know, that's what's happened today. There's a lot of people, and there's no fear of God in their heart, and if there is, they'll run away from the truth of where they should find rest. God was feared by them, yes, but they hid away from God. There was no communion as before. Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." In 2 Corinthians 6:16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And those that are saved by God's grace, we are the temple of God, and God is dwelling in us, and we're his people. I want to ask you this morning, are you sure that you're in God's family? And do you know the presence of God in your life day by day? If not, then pray as Moses prayed for the presence of the Lord to be with you every day. Now, we can backslide and we can lose the fellowship and the companionship of the Lord when we walk afar off and sin habitually before the Lord, and we need to get that relationship renewed. He requested companionship, but he requested guidance in the verse 13. "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I might find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people." Moses now requests guidance for the task ahead. It was God's work he was engaged in. Therefore, he needed God-given guidance. And so we need the guidance from above if we are to live a holy life and serve the Lord in the days ahead. How do we get that guidance? It's not in visions or by our own imaginations, but by the teaching and leading of God the Holy Spirit through his word. In John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The teaching of the Holy Spirit is so important. And you know, sometimes those of us who are of the Reformed faith, and because of the extremes of Pentecostalism, and the extremes of the charismatic movement, we tend to neglect the third person of the Holy Spirit. But we have to realize that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. And we need that guidance of God the Holy Ghost, the teaching and leading of God the Holy Spirit through his word. And John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Isaiah 2:3, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of God." The Lord leads us through the scriptures and through his word, and through the circumstances that he opens and shuts doors in our lives. And what a tremendous thing it is to be led by the Lord and to know his leading. 25 years ago, the Lord called me to go out. I hadn't a clue what I was going to do or how I was going to do it. And I was scared. And it got to the stage that I had to do something. The wife came into the shop that I had at the time and she said, "You need to do something." She said, "There was nothing going right." I had put half of it into a bookshop, secondhand Christian books, and I didn't know what to do, and I'd never talked to anybody about it. And she left the shop that day and I bowed my head and I said, "Lord, if this is what you want me to do, send someone in that I can talk to." And I happened to look up about 3 or 4 minutes later, and who walked in through the door but the Reverend Thomas Murray. And you know, I said to him, "I have to talk to you." And I'm sure he thought I was shaking. But you know, he was a tremendous help to me when I told him what I felt and what the Lord, and he gave me tremendous good advice. And you know, from that day onward, the Lord opened the door bit by bit in remarkable ways, as a story in itself. But you know, we need to realize that we need to be led by God in our daily life. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led of this by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we need in these days of false doctrine and a falling away amongst those who claim to be converted to continually be reading the Bible and seeking to know the doctrine as taught by the apostles in the New Testament. Continually in fellowship with our God, that we might be guided aright. You see, we have an adversary, although a lot of Christians don't believe that there is a devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And the devil is active today, and he is destroying the witness of Christians, and we need to be praying for one another, that we can help each other, because the devil is going about to destroy whom he will. And we have to realize that there is the temptation of the devil, and we need to realize that he tempted the Lord in the wilderness. And when did he tempt him? When he was down at the very lowest point. In came the devil. And you know, when people get depressed and they get down, that's when the devil comes in and puts things into their mind. Now, the Christian, if you're saved by God's grace, you can't be possessed by the devil. But you can be oppressed by the devil. And he sits on your shoulder. And he tempts you. And if he doesn't tempt you, there's something seriously wrong. But I trust that you have a conscience that when he does tempt you, you can say, Lord, forgive me, help me not to even think about it. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And we have many today. And it tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have the rise of the Sodomites. And you have that meeting next at the end of the next week. Or next Saturday. And you know, they are moving about as if they owned the whole countryside. One of them said in a paper the other day, I don't care. We don't care whether Stormont agrees to it or not. We are going to have same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland through the courts. And that's how arrogant that they have. In fact, there was a man said to me about his son. He says, you know, he'd come out as a homosexual. And he said to me, Ronnie, you know, he says he was born that way. I said, you're dead right he was. And he stood back. He said, you don't believe that? I said, I do. I said, what is homosexuality? It's a sin. Where did sin come from? It came from the Garden of Eden, when our foreparents sinned and brought sin into the world. And when we're born into this world, we're born in sin. And every sin that a man commits, he's born with because of the fall. Now, that wasn't what he was suggesting, but it set him back on his feet a wee bit, and he had no answer for me. But you know, that's where it comes from. And that's where we're in that position today. But you know, the Bible prophesied that, doesn't it? It tells us that before the rise of the Antichrist, there is going to be an increase, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And what does the Bible say? When you see these things happening, don't get depressed. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And these things are happening, and they're happening around us. And it's not easy to live. And we need in these days to have the power of God, the guidance of God in our lives, that we will know how to stand against the evil that's around us at this particular time. He requested communion in verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses wanted to know God personally and experience fellowship and communion with him. Now where do we have fellowship? We have fellowship, as we have said already, with God, what is found in the Bible, his word. And as we read and meditate on the word of God, he draws near and he blesses our hearts. You remember the two on the road to Emmaus, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? We have fellowship with God at the communion feast. Whenever the communion table is spread, and the invitation is to every one of God's children, is to come and have communion with him. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And in 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We have fellowship with our God in prayer, especially private prayer. Now Spurgeon said one time, he says, many public prayers are for man to hear, and God will allow them to be heard. But he said, he will not hear those prayers, because they're not prayers for him, it's for the public. And you know, sometimes that happens. In the early days of the Free Church, and way back in those missions that were held when souls were saved, there was a different atmosphere in prayer meetings. I was in some prayer meeting recently, and one of the men said, he said, do you see that chair there? He says, I remember, and he named the man, I don't know who he was, and he said, I can remember seeing him on his knees at that prayer, that chair, and the tears running down his cheeks as he cried unto God to save his family and his workmates and those in his neighborhood. And you know, that's what we need to get back to. To those days. Fellowship with God in the place of prayer. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There's fellowship with our God is found in the house of God with his people, when we meet to worship the Lord. And you know that people say to Ronnie sometimes, you know, I can be a Christian and I don't have to go to church. I said, that's right. Church doesn't save you, but I'll tell you, you're disobeying God's word. Because God's word simply says that we're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we need to be in the house of God, and we need to be there. Churches today that are full are entertaining people. They've the praise bands and the singing hymns over and over again. And you know, that's all it is, repetition. And then when the man gets up to preach, out they go. I remember, the time's going, getting into too many sidetracks here. Pastor Willie Mullen was preaching. And he was working in McCready's Rose Garden in the early days, before he became a pastor. And he was getting his messages when he was planting the roses. And then he went to do this mission. And this man, McLean, this was stuck in my mind. I was leading the meeting and he sung the hymn. And he says, we'll sing it again. And Pastor Mullins said, he says, I could have seen him anywhere. I wanted to get up with the message God had for me. But then he says, there was one night, he says, and I had the message. And I had everything in my mind, he says. And when it came to the last hymn before it, he says, I couldn't find the text in the scriptures. And he said, when he come to the end of it, I had to say, brother, sing it again. And he had to sing it over again till he found where the text was. But you know, if you want to fill a church today, you put a band in the corner and you get entertainment and you entertain the goats and you don't feed the sheep. I think it was some of the older men said that. And finally, he requested grace in the verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. We need grace for our sin. Moses knew that apart from the grace of God, he could never have his sins dealt with. And so with us, we must always remember that apart from the grace and mercy of God, we would never have our sins dealt with. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Therefore, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And as the saved of the Lord, we need a daily cleansing as we sin in thought, word, and deed. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need grace for our suffering. And you know, the Bible says in Job 5:7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's not if we suffer, but when. And you know, we need the grace of God in those days to come upon us. Grace is given when it's required. You know, sometimes you go to visit someone and they're dying. And you leave at the house and you wonder how they can cope with the situation they're in. But you know, they have got grace that we don't have and that we don't need. But if we were in that situation, God would give us the same grace. We don't need, well, I hope there's nobody needs dying grace this morning in the church. But if we come to that stage that we need dying grace, God will give it to us. And we need that grace that he talks about here, the grace for our suffering. The Apostle Paul knew that grace, whenever of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of in the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. What a life the Apostle Paul had, and yet he was used tremendously of God. But God gave him grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. And then there's grace for your service for God. We cannot save God or serve God apart from the grace of God. Luke 12:37 tells us, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Knowing, Colossians 3 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And you know, you and I this morning, as God's children, we are in the business of serving the Lord. Wherever God has placed you, that's where your service for God is. If God has placed you in a workplace, he's placed you there for a purpose. If it's in a community, it's for a purpose, and for his purpose is that we might glorify him. And you know, as we seek to serve the Lord, and the privilege of serving the Lord. You see, the Lord didn't need any of us. The Lord could have saved all that he wanted to save without ever a preacher or anybody praying or anybody witnessing. But God chose to use those of us that are saved by God's grace. And that is a tremendous privilege. He gave us the opportunity to pray for people. He gave us the opportunity to witness to his saving and a power and his grace in our lives. He gave preachers the ability to preach. And it's through the foolishness of preaching that people are saved. And you see, God uses us. And it's a privilege. But we need his companionship. We need his guidance. We need that daily communion with the Lord. And we need that grace of the Lord upon us day by day. And Moses here, the servant of God, he was able to say, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." And we need to be crying unto God that his presence will be with us every moment of every day, that we will be a living witness to the Lord, and we will have that presence of the Lord with us day by day. If you're not saved, I trust this morning that you will come and put your trust and faith in the Lord. If you're backslidden and you're away and you're cold at heart, take Psalm 51 that David prayed and get on your knees before God and cry that psalm unto God, and he'll restore you, and he'll restore the years the locusts have eaten. And if you're a child of God and you're downhearted and you're feeling the heat and the burden of the day, go to God's medicine cupboard. That's the best medicine cupboard you ever have. Go and read God's word. Read the Psalms. And God will bless you. And go, and if you're fed up and down that far down, someone was telling me recently they hadn't got out of bed for 2 weeks. They couldn't do it. And people were coming and saying to them, "Get a grip on yourself." Well, I said they didn't know very much when they told somebody like you to get down. I said there's only one person who understands how you felt, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're down, go close your bedroom door and say, "Lord, I'm beat. Help me." And he understands how you feel, and he's able to give you the grace to come up. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.